Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Fisherman Ministry, Northfield, Vermont. We are pleased to be able to gather together, both in person and online, and praise the Lord.
I praise you all my day,
perfect
Good morning. I was going to go to Matthew 24, verse 1 on Matthew 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came up unto him privately and saying, Tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginnings of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and have many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Going back to verse 4, it's take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and I shall and shall deceive many. You look out in the world today, and even in the churches, and how many Christians are being deceived by the New Age teachings, you know, the practice of Hinduism and you know, yoga and all this Middle Eastern stuff. These people claim to have love. They claim to be all about peace. And they claim to be all about, well, truth for them is relative. You know, there is no absolute truth for them. Or they say. But it's so easy for people to be drug into this stuff. I mean, oh, come practice yoga. Because, you know, it's only exercise. It's not a religion. Or your holistic healing things, you know, where they practice, what, Reiki and, you know, Reiki is one thing. You know, all this mind over matter stuff and everything else. But what they teach is they teach that that this is all inside of us. You know, we have to come from, you know, become one with ourselves inside so that we can overcome all this other stuff. I don't know. I'm kind of, but anyway, they teach that it comes, huh? They teach a lot of garbage, but people are falling for it. Hook, line, and sinker. You know, you just have to become one with yourself and love yourself and you know, and do all these good things. And, you know, and it's all about, instead of truth, it's all about feelings. You know, they choose the feelings over truth. We have one truth, and it's Jesus Christ. And the thing is that no man comes to the Father but by Jesus. In any way, any other way that comes across is wrong. And that's the wide path of destruction that we're warned about in the Bible. So.
something I want to talk about initiative today. Let me first say, though, that folks who didn't hear, I know Brother Davey, also known as Brother Richard, is down in South Carolina right now. And he and I actually chatted this morning, and he was pretty excited. And so he said the Lord and he had a slumber party last night, and he shared a part of that message this morning in South Carolina. So for those who are listening who may not have heard that message, it will go up on the internet, and I want you to listen to it. And you're probably going to have to listen to it a couple of times. But it's laying out some basic fundamentals that if you can receive will set you free to serve God as you have wanted to. Whether things that have held you back have been physical ailments, whether they have been demonic spirits, whether they have been fears or worries or what have you. I know he's not completed this message, and it's going to be coming forward, so stay tuned to look for where that's going to be coming out so you can go and listen. But I know this is a turning of a page for us as a fellowship and for people going forward. And so I don't want people to lose this opportunity. Now, I mentioned I want to talk about initiative. And I want to talk about initiative because one of the things that happens, and I've watched this with people, and I've watched it myself too. I mean, I was the way the Lord showed it to me was actually related to something in the practice of law where it is critical to be on the initiative in battle. Critical to be on the initiative. Now, I say it to you from that perspective, because we know, or we ought to know, that the power of God is greater than all the power of the enemy, we should not fear to be on the initiative. When you're not on the initiative and you're playing defense, it can tire you out very quickly. Some of you may remember, gosh, months ago, it was probably last fall even, I don't remember, I was talking about a guy by the name of George Rogers Clark, who's a person in our history as America, and I read a book called The Hero of Vincennes about him to the children. And what was interesting is he was out on the frontier, and out on the frontier in that time, and this was in Kentucky, people like Daniel Boone were out there with him, for example. These were the folks. They were out there on the frontier, and the British, through their Indian allies, were just hammering the settlers. They were holed up in forts, and they were constantly being surrounded and under siege, and they were holed up in their forts, and they were getting their butts whipped. I mean, they were doing well for being on the defensive. They were doing well. I mean, they were killing a lot of their enemies, but their numbers kept dwindling, and the enemy had more than they did. And they realized, George Rogers Clark realized, that wasn't going to work. That was not going to work. And so he hatched a plan that is an amazing plan, but he decided to take the initiative. He decided to take the battle to the British with like 100 some odd guys. The British had more, and they had thousands upon thousands of marauding Indians who would kill him if they saw him. So it was a scenario that was kind of rough. But he went and took the initiative. Not once. I don't even know if it was twice. But multiple times. And every time he took the initiative, you know what? God was with him. And this little troop of people passed through extraordinary things and won. And really, the primary reason why we have the entire Midwest and the thing going out is really relating to the initiative he took. Now, in Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 17. And if you remember, if you go back on verse 1 of it, the Lord had sent the 70 out. This is not the 12 now. This is the 70. It's the only place where he talks about the 70 going out. But he sends the 70 out, two by two. And he sent them out to the places that he was going to go. And then he went back to the cities in which he had done most of his mighty works and basically told them that because even though they had seen themselves be healed, even though they had seen people be delivered, even though they'd seen all these things, they were going down. They were going to be judged worse than Sodom and Gomorrah and places like this because they did not repent. And so this is the 70 then returned. They weren't with him while he was doing this. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, and this is the verse I wanted you to see, we know it. Behold, I give unto you power. Power. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all, look at that word, over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, Brother Davey was talking about the veil, the mystery of the veil today. And I want you to understand a thing in this because I don't want you to misinterpret this. We tend to interpret everything after what's pleasing to our flesh rather than as the Lord himself would have us see these things. Did some of these people who went out, did they lose their lives? Not the 70 in this particular trip, no. But did Stephen lose his life? Did James lose his life? Did others lose their life for the kingdom of God's sake? Were others imprisoned, beaten, and other things? Yes. So this part about nothing shall by any means hurt you, it's not referring to your natural man. But not even death can separate you from the love of God. Not even death can separate you from the love of God. And when you understand that not even death can separate you from the love of God, then you need not be dismayed at what may happen to you after your natural person. But more important here, I wanted you to understand this part about he gave unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And while you're looking at that, I want to turn over to Matthew 16. Pretty sure it's Matthew 16. Yes. Over here, verse 18. And this is after Simon Peter, and better known as the Apostle Peter, God had revealed unto him that Jesus was indeed the very Christ. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock. Now he's not referring to Peter, this is the mistake people make. He's referring to himself. I will build my church, and, watch this, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, hell may put up its gates. They may they may have a strong tower. They may look like you cannot defeat them. But I'm telling you that not even the gates of hell, nothing, not any part of the power of the enemy, did Christ not give us power over. Now, when I say this, I want you to understand a thing. The 70, when they went out, that we were talking about over there, the 70 at that moment had not received the Holy Ghost, right? They had not received the Holy Ghost. This was before Jesus' death and resurrection. This was before the day of Pentecost. This was before these things. In fact, he even said of his disciples that the Holy Ghost had not yet been given unto them. That Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, and when we read the book of Acts, we read the book that demonstrates the truth of what he is speaking of for all who receive that same Holy Ghost. And I'm looking out here at many people in this room that have received that Holy Ghost. And I know there are many who are listening who have received, and I also know there are those who are listening who have not received the Holy Ghost. And if you have not received the Holy Ghost and you want that Holy Ghost, I want you to know that God will give you that Holy Ghost. He will give you. The most likely way he will give it to you, and this is the part most people don't like, is by the laying on of the hands of an apostle. That's how I received it, and I know everybody in this room that has received it, and those I know out there received it likewise. But when you receive that Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit gives you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. That Holy Spirit gives this body of Christ, the church, that the gates of hell cannot prevail against, that power. But in order to make manifest that power, in order to walk in that power, it first requires obedience on your part to your head. That works from Jesus down through his line of authority and into every family. That's how it works. That obedience is where that power is. Because it's not there to confirm you or to make you something. It's there to conform him who is the Word of God, Jesus. So it means you follow instructions. But when you take that initiative, and this is what I want you to look at, when you take the initiative, you got an issue? Don't sit back and defend. You're going to have that issue forever if that's the approach you take. You will always have it, and you will never win. You have to take the initiative and go, I shall not accept anything but that victory that Christ has given to me. I will not accept anything less than that. And whatever it is that has hindered or kept me for one reason or another from gaining that victory, I'm not going to be afraid to find out what it is. I may not like it. So what? You got to learn to love it. Because it's the truth that sets us free. For Brother Davey, I know for the last 2 years, there was a particular thing that he had that he was dealing with that the Lord finally showed it to him in a way that he could understand by basically letting him almost die on Friday night. Couldn't breathe. And in the midst of that, he finally, really the clarity of it came last night, but he finally realized what it was. And so no longer is that a problem. And you will see him go forward in that victory. And see, it's when you go forward in that victory that you do two things. First of all, now you become that ambassador of Christ that he has called you. Because what do? You make manifest to people the victory that Christ won for us. Christ is not the loser. Christ is the victor. And as you walk in that victory, now other people can see Christ's victory and potentially have the opportunity to believe. Not only that, as you've won that victory yourself, now you can minister that victory unto others. You can pray for the sick with authority because you know that healing is a part of that victory that we have in Christ. You can pray for people to be delivered. Why? Because you know that deliverance is a part of that victory. You can walk in all the works of God because you know that the Word of God is true. And see, when you know that the Word of God is true, then even this old guy and his nastiness is no hindrance. No hindrance at all. Because you know he's completely irrelevant to your walk with God. Has nothing to do with it. And you know you are saved by the blood. And it is that blood behind the veil of that blood in the body of Christ where you are free. So you can forget about the old guy. You can forget about the old guy. Sure, you recognize he's dragging around behind you like a ball and chain. And you wish to hell that you could just be shed of him completely right now so you'd never see, embarrass you or any other such thing. But embarrassing is not such a bad thing. Because the fact of the matter is, what's it do? It humbles you. God giveth more grace to the humble and resisteth the proud. So praise God. And people want to point at your old man? Praise God. What's that to you? What is that to you? Why do you think my Savior had to die for me? You're just pointing out all the reasons why. You don't have to worry about him. You don't have to be hung up about him. And you can go forward in that victory. But the key here is, and this is that element of seizing the initiative, taking it to the enemy rather than letting the enemy take it to you. See, and your fears and your worries are all the things that give place to the enemy to take it to you. That's what they do. They give place for him to beat you up and pin you down and bind you up so that he can use you as a punching bag. And when people see you as a punching bag, how many people want to join that? I'm not too well aware of people wanting to join the place where you become a punching bag. Certainly most men don't want to join that. You know, most men prefer to be on the side that's doing the punching. Not be in the punching bag. I mean, people go and join the U.S. Army because we're strong. I can tell you what, if they were pitiful getting overrun by everybody, that everybody would be running the other way rather than joining that army. So it's critical for you to stop being a punching bag. Repent of all that nonsense. Don't be like those children of Israel who were cowering in the trenches when Goliath was standing up there. David came and saw it for what it was. And so David took the initiative. Did he not? He took the initiative and went after Goliath. And Goliath went down because God was with David. God could not honor Israel in the trenches. Israel was afraid. Israel was terrified. Israel, they didn't leave the trenches. They were still there as an army. But it wasn't until David took the initiative that they went out and they won. And see, what the Lord wants each of you to be. He doesn't want you to wait for somebody else to be David. You got enemies right there, right now you got to deal with. You got things that have been holding you back right now where you are. He wants you to go forward and take the initiative in those situations. If anybody's going to be afraid, let it be your adversaries, not you. I used to come up with my mom. My mom would say to me, you know, I feel like I walk on eggshells when I'm around you. My response was, good. Praise God. You oughta. It's just about everything you do is wrong. I was pleased with that testimony. I didn't apologize for it. Right? My mother at that time was my adversary. Before she died, that changed, praise God. But when she was my adversary, did I care one bit for the fact that she felt completely uncomfortable around me? Absolutely not. Better her than me. How many people do you feel uncomfortable about? How many people do you feel uncomfortable around and don't know what to say and you feel like you're walking on eggshells? See, when you take the initiative, that'll stop. Because you have no problem treading underfoot the enemy. And in so doing, those who were once your enemies, and bear in mind, folks, I highlight this point because I don't want people to go running out of here and think what they got to do is throw their daughter or throw somebody down and prod them underfoot. That's not what I'm talking about. All right? The scripture says we wrestle against flesh and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Right? That's not our enemy, but that spirit behind them. It's not only our enemy, it's the person in front of you's enemy too. The only one who knows that is you. And if you will love them, then you'll drive that enemy away. If they choose to stick with you, then they get free of that enemy. If they run away with that enemy, well, oh well, they're run away with that enemy. If and when they come back, they can get free then. Don't be hung up about it. But I share this with you because it's really critical to take the initiative and no longer let Satan run over you. Some of you got long-standing issues and stuff like that. I don't care. Christ is just as able right now, no matter how long it has gone on, no matter how far it's got you down, no matter how much you think there's nothing you can do about it, He is just as capable right now to restoring you and giving you the healing and or deliverance that you need. There's been no diminishment in His ability to heal and or deliver you. Not one bit. It's just for you to go get it. If you look at the people who got healed in the Scripture, who got healed in the Scripture? Those who went and got it. The woman with the issue of blood 12 years. Oh, I just hope Jesus will come over here and heal me. Oh, I just hope He'll come over here and heal me. The blind guys, oh, I just hope He'll come over here and heal me. And stuff like that. No, man, she pressed through the crowd to touch the hem of His garment. They opened up the roof to lower the guy down who was on had the palsy and the like. The guy who was lying, the people told him, shut up. He's saying, no, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. He did not care about anybody. He went and got it. Do you want it? You've got to go get it. And if you'll get it, then you'll have a testimony that you can share with others that they can get it too. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet. sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. says, I've got one for every selfish thing I do. Tell me what's going on inside of me. I despise my own behavior. This only serves to confirm my suspicions that I'm still a man in need of a savior. I want to be in the light as you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heavens.
Bless you.